Please. We're going to be in the last chapter, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. This, to me, is kind of it's kind of a fun chapter. If you're over the age of 40, you can start to identify. When you get 50, you identify more. When you get 60, you go, oh, yeah, I know, understand that one. And then, of course, every age above that, younger people are going to scratch their head and go, huh? That's okay, your day's coming. That's what is in this text. Your day's coming. So be very careful how you make fun of old people. Older people, getting older. If you did not receive an outline, raise your hand. Make sure you get you one. Brother Keith, I may be the only one that's going to request this. Would you turn the air on a little bit? It is so hot up here. Mike is pretty windy. But I promise he won't turn it down to freeze you. Yeah. Uh-oh, I hear people moaning and groaning. I'll loan you my jacket if you get cold. Okay, let's go over to chapter 12. I don't know if we'll have time to do all 8 verses, but we'll give it a shot. We're going to look at that. It begins in verse number 1, chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So we're starting out with young people. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That's what it meant when I said, your day's coming. That's what verse number 1 says. So remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, cause your day's coming if you get old. Durr. Number 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows shall be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone that's come out tonight. I thank you for helping us even with our production. Be with our production crew as they work through some of the bugs that we had this morning regarding our video streaming. I pray that those that are joining us that way will listen intently and make application. And for those of us that are here, you'll just bless each one for their faithfulness. And I pray that we'll just enjoy looking at the Word of God tonight. Bless our time, we pray in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. You can look at the outline, preacher's subject, preacher's sermon. And now we're down to the preacher's summary. Those of you that have the handout, I went ahead and kind of depleted some of the subpoints, so you probably just have the 3 that start out with look well. And that just gives you a little more space. I end up giving you 4 sheets tonight just to make it easier for you. And then we looked at under the preacher's summary, he repeats his complaints about life, verses 1 through 10. When we get to 11 or chapter 12, we're going to be looking at he relates his conclusions about life. And that's going to be this whole chapter here. He's expanding where he closed out in chapter 11. And I'm looking up at the screen. That's where we ended up last week. But as we get over to chapter 12, where he begins to relating his conclusions about life, he's basically adding on to what we just finished in chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, and focusing upon basically old age and death. I don't think I thought too much about that when I was in my 20s, teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. But after certain things come in your life, you begin to focus a little more on life's fragility. Life is very fragile. It's uncertain. You read James 4:14, and our life's like a vapor. And I think the older we get, the more there is a reality that we are finite beings with many limitations and liabilities. And that's kind of what we're getting to here. Now, when we get to this passage, some Bible commentators look at this as an allegory or metaphorical aspect about a different perspective. Matter of fact, one thought it was just simply prophetic. And I look at it very literally, I guess is the word. I think he's talking about the normal things we encounter as we age. And what's motivating him first is to look at our sense of ourselves and our Maker. That's why one in the outline is man and his Maker. We're going to look at that part in a couple areas. Number one, remember your Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So there's a couple things we can look at in regard to the imperative of this. The word remember, that's an imperative verb. It's focusing on two things. One's the immediate. It says remember now. So there's an emphasis on the immediate. And then there's the emphasis on the individual. Thy Creator. The these and thys help us over modern English. Modern English, you sometimes don't know if ye and you are singular, or you, rather, is singular or plural. We know what it is if it's thee becomes thou or thy. That's singular. So this is individual. The Hebrew word here is sakar, and it means just what it says. Very simply, remember. But this remember means to live your life with what you know about God clearly in view, and not just to remember that there is a God. It's a little bit farther than that. Deuteronomy 8:18 is a good example. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It's he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is unto this day. And I think it's good for us, especially even as we're aging. It's easy to disregard God. If you're at the 60, 70, 80-year-old level, and you're highly successful, you've had decent health, made a lot of money, you've got a portfolio that is maybe in six or seven figures, and you have no concerns about financial future. Well, remember, the Lord thy God is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Let's go into the next aspect of this in the book of Psalms, 119:55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This is the kind of remembrance that Solomon is talking about as the Holy Spirit moves on him to write about this. Creator connotes that basically we understand and recognize the one to whom we're responsible. As I mentioned this morning, Romans chapter 9, I think it's down around verse 21, somewhere in there, it talks about us being the clay trying to tell the potter what to do. Well, if you remember thy Creator, it has a sense that we understand he made us, and we need to be thankful for whatever he's given us to do and the ability to do it. The emphasis there about in the days of thy youth, very simply, it indicates the imperative of children's ministries is from my perspective. You know, the Awana class, this past week, I think it was this past week, I talked with the president of the Awana about some concerns I had in some reading material that they were pushing about discussing racial issues with your children. Well, I'm not against discussing racial issues with your children, but they recommended a couple radicals that had written some books. So I expressed my concern to them. I greatly believe that training up a child in the way he should go is very important for us as parents, but also as a church. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have a junior church. This is why we have youth meetings and all the other. So to me, this is kind of our way of counteracting the humanistic denial of creation that's in our elementary schools, let alone our high schools. We are facing a secular system that has been around before I was born, but since the 30s and 40s, it's deteriorated. And they don't even want you to mention Christmas anymore, let alone the Creator, an intelligent designer. They're even against that. You can go ahead and teach evolution that your child came from an animal. So if he acts like an animal, don't be surprised. I mean, that's what he came from. He can even kill in cold blood. That's what Truman Capote believed and why he wrote that book. But let's understand that we need to put the emphasis on the children and try to encourage them about scripture memorization and their own relationship with the Lord. Let's remember the second thing, not only the Creator, but our condition. And while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, in other words, enjoy your youth. The evil days are talking about our older age and death. That's what's coming. The innocency of youth is something that we can consider to be changing. It used to be junior high kids were pretty innocent, not anymore. The junior high or middle schools, I think, are a great place to try to reach them with the gospel. They're not kids anymore. We're seeing innocency lost in fifth graders, fourth graders. And there's some agendas that are trying to push the sex ed stuff in places like California, even down to the kindergarten level. And some of the atrocities that they've tried there and they're doing, most parents, especially in our congregation tonight, would be shocked. So this is what's happening. Our adversary is pretty smart. He knows to go after the kids while they're young and innocent. But we also ought to be aware and trying to build good programs to reach those kids ourselves. Solomon urged consideration of the beginning and the end, the Creator and the end, the days of our life. I think the view of the fact that there was nothing new under the sun for Solomon as he wrote this book, as the Holy Spirit moved him, at this point, he's saying none of that stuff under the sun can satisfy you. You need to get back to God. I found a poem that shows about how our lives pass quickly. And the poem says this, "When, as a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When, as a youth, I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became full-grown man, time ran. When later, as I older grew still, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time will soon be gone." And the author, that's unknown. I think I left the link for you there. In Dr. Ruckman's book on Ecclesiastes, he made this statement: youth is heat without light, and old age is light without heat. This is part of growing old, the changing, as you saw in the poem and as you saw in the statement. The future adjustments in getting older are not pleasant. When he makes that statement, "When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So basically what he's talking about is your visits to the doctor, amputations. Because of diabetes, my older brother, they took off a toe. They amputated another toe. And then finally, I don't know how many amputations they did. They took his leg off above his knee. I've seen others that had amputations as they got older like that. If it's not that, it's implants. If it's not that, it's hip and knee replacement. You know, I think it's Brother Robbie just had a hip replacement. I've had a knee replacement, and we've got others that have faced that kind of thing. Then there's appointments for chemotherapy. There's exploratory surgeries. Then there's all the medical fees and the never-ending prescriptions and arthritis. You know, I don't know how many times I've had my knees not only worked on but x-rayed, and the doctor says, well, see this right here? That's just normal. That's arthritis. That's because you're aging. So the doctors just look at us. They take a picture of your spine, and they see something on your spine. That's normal. That's arthritis. You're just getting older. You know, you go to an ophthalmologist, and this happened to me. I had had a torn retina, and he used a laser to repair it. And so I went for my follow-up, and I said, man, that thing's messed up my vision. He said, how you mean? I said, well, before the surgery, I could read stuff like that, and there's no problems. Now I got to go like this. And he laughed. He said, it has nothing to do with your laser surgery. And I said, well, sure seems like it to me, because before, I could just read anything like this. He said, no, it's because you're over 40 now. I said, so what does that have to do with it? He said, everybody goes through this. Once they're hitting over their 40s, their eyes develop differently, and they have to start doing this. And he said it had nothing to do with the laser surgery on my retina. Well, I guess I believed him, because now, you know, I've gone from 1.5 to 2. Now I'm up to 2.5. These really do help. They really do. Well, let's go to man and his mortality. First, we look at the outward permanence of the heavenly things in order. And he talks about enjoying youth while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. This part of getting older and all that comes along with it, you'll miss out on some of the stuff that you can easily enjoy right now that you will not enjoy once you get older. I think there's some aspects of this. We go through it right now, this time of year. We can have 70 on Monday and then 8 degrees on Tuesday out where I live. Well, today it was back up in the 60s. And, you know, I'm thinking of grilling steaks. When will I get to grill steaks again? Because I don't want to do it in 8-degree weather. So the sun's shining, I can enjoy it a little bit. But the light, the moon, your vision gets darkened, and so on. So he's saying the coming of old age is right around the corner. And so we get in verses 2 and 3. This is how it's going to come back. I thought of this passage when I was thinking about being cold and what Ruckman had to say, age is light without heat. And that's over in 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Okay, I'm starting to relate to that more than I did years ago. You know, after I had that little challenge with the mini stroke, they put me on this blood thinner. Okay, my hands are like ice cubes. I'll reach over and grab my wife, and she'll say, oh, your hands are like ice. Well, they are. Its circulation is not like it used to be. Now I'm more happy to have my Afghan right there. When I sit down to watch in the lounge chair a football game, I'll throw the Afghan over my legs. Well, I didn't used to do that, but I'm getting colder. It goes on and says, let her, you know, seek for a young virgin and stand before the king and let her cherish him. And so they sought for a fair damsel throughout the kingdom, and they find this girl named Abishag. And the damsel was very fair and cherished the king, and he still didn't get warmed up. That last part, but the king knew or not, that's probably a sexual connotation. But Abishag didn't work. I asked my wife, no, I can't tell you that. She doesn't like the idea of me getting an Abishag. in chapter 18, verse 4, Psalm 18, 4. Let's go over there. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Why? I think this is something a COVID patient could say. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Old age and the aspect of dying is right before me. Psalm 88:3. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down the pit. I'm as a man that hath no strength. This is somebody who's got to the place they're very weak. Whether it's a chemotherapy patient that's going through the challenge of cancer, or someone that's just old and tired. I can't tell you how many times I talked with Chuck Shoemate, and he kept saying, Pastor, I just want to go home. I'm tired of living. And I heard him say that so many times. Well, we see the obvious impermanence of the human order of things. In other words, we're deteriorating. Let's look at, first off, the increasing feebleness of the age, verses 3 and 4. When it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, that's the arms, the hands. You tremble. You know, there's this part of it where we're shaking. The next part of this, well, I should say the house itself, is probably the person as a whole. When it talks about that, keepers of the house, the keepers are probably, again, the arms, the hands, but I think it could also be the legs. So there could be that aspect of it. But I think the legs go more with the last part of verse 3, and the strong men shall bow themselves. I think that's really the back and the legs. I don't know how many people I've seen that walk like this. Their shoulders are down. Their back is bowed. Their spine is not as strong as it used to be. So I think it could be there. You'll notice there it talks about the strong men. Men is plural. So I don't think it's just one thing. I don't think it's just the back. I think it's the back and the legs. I think you're probably familiar with the term bow-legged. There's people who, because of maybe they carried a lot on their back or whatever reason, their legs get bowed. And so there's that aspect of it. And then the ones that most people identify with, the last part of verse 3, and the grinders cease because they're few. Well, that's a pretty good picture of teeth. Now, you and I live in a generation where dental work and things is ever progressing. You know, I saw where you can actually get, if you have a tooth pulled, you can get an implant where they screw it down into your bone, and it looks just like, you know, the teeth you were born with. Some of that gets to be very expensive. Then, of course, there's false teeth. When we go back in olden days, now, again, I come from hillbilly country, so to speak. There's jokes made about it. In regard to West Virginia, Kentucky, and even Southern Ohio, about men and women being virtually toothless, only have one or two teeth. The reason is because with age, they fell out. And it wasn't because they went to the dentist to have them pulled out. They just fell out with the age and improper hygiene or whatever you want to call it. And so this is not uncommon in places of poorer conditions. Then the eyes, those that look out the windows, be darkened. You've heard that the eyes are the window of the soul. Well, this is what it's talking about here. Those who look through those windows that are the eyes. Then the lips. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. All right, so the doors shall be shut in the streets probably are the lips. You know, I can remember my own grandmother. She had lost some of her teeth, and I think she maybe even had some dentures, but she never wore them. But I can remember when my grandma was laughing about something, she put her hand up like this. And it dawned on me one day when I got to be an older teenager, she was embarrassed. about her lack of dental replacement or whatever you want to call it. And I think this is one of the things people keep their lips kind of shut when that grinding is low, when the teeth are either smaller or they're gone. That's kind of the idea about that. And then F in your outline, the fears. And shall rise up at the voice of the bird. You know, the first thing I thought of was a rooster. You know, the rooster crowing in the mornings. There's that idea here about the birds. And there's the second part of that, daughters of music shall be brought low. So the daughters of music means you have an indication of diminished hearing, a diminished ability to hear. And again, modern technology, they're doing wonders. There are people that their hearing's diminished. They go to get these more modern style hearing aids, which you can hardly detect. And they're smaller, they're inside. I think modern technology has helped us a lot in aging in regard to our personal concern about aging. It helps us. So that part about sleeping could also be indicative of a lack of sleeping ability. I won't say insomnia, but you're easier to get up. There's going to be a few of you say, it's never been easy for me to get up. But I think that's part of getting older. It does become more where you're easier to get up and you're getting up earlier in the morning for whatever reason. Let's go to very quickly the involuntary fears of the aged. And it's all found in verse number 5. First is the fear of heights, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You know, individuals, as they get older, they do have a fear of heights, even traffic and travel and some of the other stuff. When you're younger, you know, you don't mind climbing ladders, climbing trees. You know, I shared with you before, my cousins and I, we would climb sycamore trees. Sycamore trees grow very tall. And the branches, once you, from about 10 feet down, there's no branches. But once you get up to the branches, it's like a ladder. And we had this character growing up. The movies were made, I guess, in the 40s. But he's called Tarzan. And we would cut down the vines. There'd be vines growing up on the hill, and we would cut those. And we would swing out over a ravine about from myself here to where Bo's sitting. Wouldn't be, you know, a canyon, but it'd be about that far. And we'd just swing out and back. And in those sycamore trees, we would be up there, and we'd jump from one limb to another. Now, the truth of it is, if we had missed one of those limbs, being about 50 or 60 feet up high, it would have probably killed us as we bounced off the limbs on the way down. But, you know, when you get older, there was a maple tree right at the corner of our house where that was is like a two-story where we had a basement. You come out the back, that maple tree. I got to looking at it one day, and I thought, I bet I could climb up that maple tree and get on the roof. So I did, and I did it regularly. I just get up there, climb out, just sit there at night, look at the stars, and then I'd go over and climb back down. I didn't think about anything regarding danger. But you know, there comes a point when you get older, it's kind of like, wow, that's a long ways down. If I would slip and fall, and you start thinking once you get older. So, you know, too often the young people, they're oblivious to that. But as we get older, we maybe overthink the risk. Fear of highways be in your outline, and fear shall be in the way. I think there's some part of that. Unpleasant experiences plague older generation regarding traveling concerns. There's danger. Back in those days, they were susceptible to robbery. As you get older, there's a thing called fatigue. You get tired. I mean, even if you go over to the airport, get on a plane, and fly somewhere, there's something about the experience. When you're landed, you're tired. Then there's the thing about expense. And then there's another thing about traveling. You don't want to be a nuisance to somebody. I don't know if you're familiar with the cliche about visitors and fish. Visitors and fish are the same. After 3 days, they stink. So the idea is don't stay too long because you'll wear out your welcome. Well, as you get older, those are concerns. You know, when Teresa and I were planning on going over to Cape Cod to see two of our sons, but with the COVID and all these other things, this kind of applies to us. We've thought about all these issues, and we think, well, it's probably best that we don't go at this time. I'd like to see the kids and the grandkids and all that. But let's go on a little bit further. The incurable things of the aged, loss of dominance. The first one's hair. It's not uncommon for hair to begin thinning. Sometimes it happens with young men. You know, I know we had a kid that graduated from here just a couple years ago, and boy, he was thinning a little bit then. He's thin more now. It also happens to women as they get older, 40s, 50s, babies come and go and all that. Well, this, the almond tree shall flourish. This part of it is talking about the whitening of the hair. And the almond buds, I guess, are white. And like the hair of an old person, hair falls off as he or she ages. So does, likewise, the almond tree casts the white flowers. They fall off. You see it over in Hosea 7:9, strangers, it says, devoured strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. That's the guy in his 30s and 40s that's already turning white. Proverbs 16:31 talks about the hoary head, and it's a crown of glory if it be found in a way of righteousness. Let's go. I think this is probably the last one we're going to cover, and that's the loss of drive, and that's strength. And this one says, a grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Look, an elderly person is less sprightly in his or her movements. There's that application. But I also think it's about the next part. Little things become a nuisance. There's a lot of things that didn't annoy us when we were younger, but they seem to annoy us now. If you've ever been around someone that you could classify as an old grouch, little things bother them. You know, I remember a ball going into a neighbor's yard, and the neighbor was what we would call an old grouch. In some cases, he wouldn't throw the ball back. You know, kids were just playing ball. They didn't break anything. It wasn't something that hurt his house or his yard. They weren't over there playing. He is just an old grouch. A little thing, just a little thing annoyed him. And I don't know why that happens. But then there's also the idea of the lack of strength. It is present about having the desire, but it's failing. Older men particularly like to show that they are just as strong as they used to be in lifting or moving or something. Truth of it is, it's not so much. 2 Samuel 19, verse 34, Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go with the king up to Jerusalem? Now, he had been invited to go up, and he says, look, I'm 80 years old, this day, 80 years old, and can I discern? Now, look how he describes getting old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men, singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant yet be a burden unto my lord the king? You know, Teresa and I have had discussions, about what happens 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and rest homes and all that stuff. And I already let her know the moment I walk into a rest home, I'm plotting my escape. And I'm serious about that. I'll be planning how to get out of there. And I told my kids, don't you even think about putting me in one of those places. But you know, the implication here is when you're younger, you might enjoy how you dress. You might enjoy exotic food. You might enjoy worldly accolades. But you know, when you get older, you don't care about that. My wife got me, I told her, my feet get cold, just like my hands. So she got me these. I said, I'd like for you to find me some really good, soft socks to wear. She comes home with two pairs of socks. One of them looks like Christmas trees. The other one looks like Santa Claus. Looks like Christmas to me. But you know what? They are so warm. And so one of my boys was commenting about my wardrobe now. When I'm at home, my wardrobe will be a pair of shorts, a V-neck T-shirt, and now my socks. And I don't care what anybody comes to the house. I don't care what they think about. I'm at that age. I don't care. I might even start wearing them to Walmart. You know, just really get in the trend of things. But that's, I think, a little bit of what happens when you get older. You don't worry about some of those things. And this is basically what he's talking about. I think we'll pick it up next week about the loss of desire, going home, his long home and that. I think it's fun to read these and see how Solomon depicted them and then make adjustments on how we can apply them to our life. And we'll pick up a little bit more of that next week. As I looked at this, this was a hard place to break. And I think that may be the best place for us to. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll wind up there. Because I was looking at this about the aspect of aging. If the gospel be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not. And here's the part about light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel shine of them. Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, ourselves, his servant's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But here's why I added this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As we get older, we understand the fragility of this earthen vessel. We're like a piece of pottery. Pottery is easy to break. Small stone falling over. We could set a vase right down on the tile and just let it fall over. And if it was like most pottery, it would crack and break. It's very fragile. When you and I consider our fragility, that our strength lies with the Lord Jesus. He is our treasure. And salvation, which was mentioned above those verses, are important. And that excellency of the power is God's, not us. Let's bow for prayer. As the verse says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, enjoy youthfulness, enjoy the energy, the ability to have activity, enjoy life. That's what Solomon was getting at several times. But then remember, after that, the judgment. If the Lord doesn't come and you have problems that you shouldn't have, you should enjoy growing older together. I can honestly say this about my wife and I. As we've gotten older, we've just enjoyed growing older together. We laugh at each other. This morning, we got here to church. We're getting stuff out of the car. And I looked at her and I said, where's my Bible? She said, in your left hand. And it was right there in my left hand, and I'm looking for it. And then she laughed. Can you imagine that? She laughed at me. Yeah. Well, we joke about things. We love each other, and we know each other's mentality, fragility, desires. For the younger couples, let me encourage you, enjoy the youthfulness of your marriage. but draw close to each other so you can enjoy the aging together. We're very fortunate. In our church, if you add the years, myself, Brother Mrs. Cox, Brother Mrs. Thorpe, I haven't asked Brother Kennedy how long he and his wife have been married, but I imagine it's maybe up over those years. Adding us all together is probably 200 and some years worth of marriage. So enjoy what we've enjoyed and learn from us if you can. Elderly people, aging people, praise God we're still breathing. But by God's grace, let's use whatever time we have left to be the most fruitful in our lives. Father, bless each one that's here. Help us to enjoy aging. Forgive us for stupidity. Forgive us for sins. Forgive us when we take things for granted, even the ability to breathe and walk in here. I pray, Father, you bless each one as whatever age we are, we enjoy fellowship with you and with one another. For we pray in Christ's name and amen.